Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
I'm Genesis from Culver's in Claremont, Florida. And here, family fish fry is a part of who we are. We've been serving up fish fry favorites for over 40 years, all thanks to the Culver Family Roots and Wisconsin Supper Clubs, the place where the fish fry was perfected. If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our hand-battered North Atlantic cod. It's perfectly seasoned and my personal favorite. Or if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Whatever you order, I promise it will be made with love by a team who cares, because we want every guest to feel like family. That's just how we do it in Wisconsin. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with the Countdown.
Welcome to the Pavement Top 50, as selected by you.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Meeting Malcolmists Top 50 for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you picked. How will your favorite track fare in the ranking? Wait and see. You'll need to tune in, or whatever the podcast equivalent of tuning in is, to get that information. Each week, we'll also invite a guest to not only discuss the track, but also to share their Pavement origin story. So there's that. This week, we're joined by my friend Chris. Chris, how the fuck are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, JD. It's a big honor to be on your program. You're a Pavement scholar, and I've been listening for a while, so yeah, this is great. It's great.
Yeah, we're gonna have some fun.
Yeah.
yeah,
but doing good. You all right?
I'm great, man. I'm great. I'm raring at the chomping at the bit to get to number one. And here we are, like way at the beginning with number 50. Oh my gosh. So let's talk a little bit about you. How long have you been, what's your Pavement origin story?
Right. So I remember seeing the record cover in a really cool record shop in the town where I used to live, which was Bournemouth.
Okay.
Back when, and I'm talking about Slanted. I probably don't pronounce it right because I.
No, you do.
I'm from.
Sounds good to me.
And I sort of was looking at it. It looked really weird, interesting. My mate Ben, he bought it, and he said, "Right, we're going to go on. We were going on a school trip or something, and he had a tape of it. So, home taping and all that, and." I put it in my, cassette player, and by, 20 seconds in, that was it. I suppose before that I'd listened to the Stone Roses and the Happy Mondays were probably like my sort of favorite bands.
Madchester.
And then, and I was pretty young then. And then, Nirvana was sort of, they were there, but I felt very differently when I heard Pavement to how I heard Nirvana. I don't know. Pavement did something different to my brain.
Tell me more about that.
Well, it's just it's the lyrics, I suppose. The energy lyrics and the drumming. Gary's drumming is just absolutely unbelievable.
It's like tribal or something, isn't it?
I I don't know. I never really thought of it as tribal. It just doesn't sound like anything else, really.
No,
like, he crams so much in, and he plays sort of little melodic riffs and bits that really seem to go well with the singing.
Yeah.
Whether that was just pure fluke or what, I don't know. But I read somewhere that Steve would sort of say, you know, he'd be talking to Gary during the process of recording and basically be like saying, like, rock out now and all that kind of stuff. So he was giving him some sort of pointers, like this bit, because some of those early songs are the same three chords or whatever,
right,
over and over again, but it doesn't sound like that because the lyrics and the drumming and the guitar solos just make it so much more, if you see what I mean. And I still haven't tired of any of that music. So yeah, they were kind of like a band that I latched onto and thought, yeah, this is my band, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get to see them live in the heyday?
Yeah, I've seen them live quite a few times. I didn't see them live when Slanted came out because I was probably a little bit young to go to maybe some of the places they were playing. I don't really know, but anyway, I didn't. And then saw them on the tour for Bright in the Corners.
I met
them on that tour, and I was a disgusting drunken mess. So, but I've since apologized and talked to Bob about that. And he was like, no, it's fine, don't worry about it. But at the time, I was like, oh no, I met my favorite band and I was a fucking idiot, you know. But
man.
It happens, doesn't it? But yeah, we kind of just launched ourselves at the little barrier, and it just gave, and we just went round onto the stage and round the back and had a good chat to him. I don't know for how long, but it seemed like probably outstayed our welcome.
I think they're used to it. I think they're used to it.
Yeah,
like,
they're very courteous. They gave us a beer and stuff, and they were very patient with these strange drunk boys around them.
Right.
So yeah, marvelous band. And yeah, still a huge fan. Saw them last year when we met up in Porto. Saw them in London then, and
you went to the first Roundhouse show, right?
Yeah. It was pretty noisy and sludgy.
Yeah,
it was great. And Richard Dawson opened that one. I don't know if you know his work.
I don't know.
Oh, he's really good. And Steve was sort of singing his praises during the Pavement set, which was really cool. And I seen Steve a bunch of times. And I've seen Pavement a bunch of other times as well. Steve, the best one is the solo one he did in London for the Groove Denied tour.
So good. I went to that tour as well.
Yeah, it's blown away. Cause,
me too.
You could get pretty close and see what he was up to, and he looked like he was having a good time. So, one-man band style.
He couldn't hide behind anybody, you know, like, because he was front and center on that tour, him and his MacBook, right? Like, it was him and that blue guitar, that blue, I don't know, even know what kind of guitar it was that he was playing.
Wasn't
it was a hollow body, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't it? That is that, I forget her name. There's a songwriter, it'll come to me after this, I don't know. But
sure.
if you look up that guitar, I think it's made by somebody quite famous.
Somebody is listening to this right now and screaming it into into their headphones.
Bloody dickhead should have done his research. Yeah. But yeah, that show was just the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really, really good.
It's funny because
I went off on a tangent then. I don't know where we started or where we've ended, but
that's the game, baby.
I'm just a lifelong fan is the summary. And I sort of collected and bought things all the way along, and I'm just looking forward to whatever happens next, really.
Yeah, me too.
I listened to your interview with Spiral, and he was saying about that singles box, that'd be quite a nice thing if you've got a record player.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to be in that. Like, it says the 7-inch collection, but like, aren't they already out on vinyl? Like, or are some of them just CD?
Some of them are hard to get. Okay. So, yeah, I think if you're sort of collecting the 7-inches, you probably need to part with a bit of cash now for,
I guess, like, so.
Certainly the first one. I mean,
well, will those come with it, do you think? Like Slate Tracks and Demolition Plot?
What if it's the singles, then? I don't know. Oh, yeah, do you count those as different releases? Like,
I don't know. EP? Because it's like weird, because Perfect Sound Forever is a 10-inch, right?
Yes, yeah, so it wouldn't be on there, I guess.
So it won't be, so you wouldn't be a completist.
I have
that,
and I have Demolition Plot, but I don't have Slate Tracks.
Oh, I've got them. Look, hold on. I'm going to move my camera, because I built...
You've got it for it. Yeah, it's a beauty. And even the inserts and everything, it's just so much mystery and stuff like that. And when they came out as well, you didn't know really what they looked like. There was lots of little whisperings in weird fanzines that we'd buy and pick up and send off for, and there'd just be like a little review about Pavement, and it just added to the mystery. So they seem to have weirdly retained that, even though they're really like not mysterious guys in a lot of ways. They will answer any question,
but they really
still
they've
got managed to be
to cultivate this sort of clandestine.
Yeah, well, people are still interested.
So so what do you think it is that makes them, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they're more popular in the UK than they are even in the USA. What, if that is true, why do you think that is true?
Oh.
Like, why did you guys adopt them so heartily?
I don't think it was a conscious decision, to be honest. It was just,
you guys know
instant.
Music better.
I don't know. Maybe it was just because, you know, the press here, certain people in the press may have warmed to them.
Right.
So fewer outlets. But I think more than that, it was just an irresistible sound to begin with. Yeah. And, you know, it's, I suppose in a basic way, they were a culmination of a lot of bands that real music fans dug, like the Velvet Underground and the Fall, Dylan-esque in some of the lyrical sort of things. And people don't just like those kinds of bands a little bit. They love them. And
that's
a
good point.
And then they had influence from bands like Faust and Can, and again, maybe Beefheart, and the Kinks, My Bloody Valentine. It was a lot of stuff that people aren't just a little bit into. They're mad fanatics for those kind of bands, and that's what I think might have happened.
I think you're right. I think John Peel
answer the question,
John,
in any way at all.
Absolutely. John
Peel as well, and John Peel was huge, and a lot of people I knew would tune in to his shows. And you know, if there was a Pavement session on, it would be on the Saturday night, and you'd go in and to school, and people would be talking about it on the Monday. And, you know, did you tape it? No, I fell asleep before the last song. Because he'd play a song throughout a 2 or 3 hour program every once in a while with no indication of when that was going to be on. So you had to be there with your pause button and the record
pressed, those days.
Ready to rock and roll. And I've got like bootleg recordings of these shows where people have left Peel on a little bit, and also you can hear the kind of pause button go and all that. So
that's so cool. It's just something that don't have anymore, right? Like that idea of taping shit off the radio, and you know, that
was so... I suppose there's a modern equivalent, but I won't know what that is.
No, I don't either.
I've walked over that bridge, and I'm in another realm.
So what do you say? Do you want to get into track 50?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99-foot-long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ugh, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
Now, on with the countdown.
50.
Welcome to my friends. This house is a home, and a home's where I belong. Where the feelings are warm and the foundations are strong. If my soul has a shape, well, then it is an ellipse. And this slap is a gift, 'cause your cheeks have lost their luster. You know your cheeks have lost their luster. You know your cheeks have lost their luster. You know your cheeks are lost, luster, 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 luster. Take it back, send return out of time. Tape machine needs to be bark in the dog, and you've got a guardian. When the capital's S, it is followed by a T, and it's probably me. And the tones are grouped in clusters. You know the tones are grouped in clusters. Well, the tones are grouped in clusters. You know the tones are grouped in clusters. Clusters, clusters, clusters. Take it back.
Hawaiian charts at number 50. That's right. From Bright in the Corners, your first tour. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know whether they played it. I can't remember. Maybe somewhere there's the set list and, you know, it's...
You'll have to look it up on Setlist FM.
Yeah. I'll make a note.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember.
So what did you think when I first told you what song you were going to be covering? What were your initial thoughts?
Well, this wasn't in my top 20, so I sent you a top 20, so I better be honest about that, you know, because I have read on YouTube comments that this is some people's favorite Pavement song or favorite song. So I was kind of alarmed because I hadn't put it in my top 20. But as I said to you at the when I sent you my list, it's quite a task to choose a top 20 of Pavement songs because, well, there's so many that you could and it could change every day. But also, there's not many bands out there who would have you'd have that problem with. You know, most bands would have four or five half decent songs at a push.
That's right. Yeah.
Pavement have they've exceeded that. Like
they really have.
Quite a margin. Yeah. So they're an interesting band in that regard, in that everyone's going to have I've got some very obscure favorites and soft spots for some bits that maybe other people wouldn't dig so much. So yeah.
Well, I can tell you this is how varied the lists were. I asked for top 20, and when I compiled everything together, I ended up with 121 songs. So there were 121 different Pavement songs.
That's huge,
that
isn't it?
That got votes. Mm. That to me is crazy because their catalog is probably only 175 songs, you know? So that means there was only like 50 songs that weren't included
for that
That's
day.
Right. That's right. That yeah. day. Yeah,
that
exactly.
day. Yeah. Because I've just brought up my list. I've got Circa 1762. That's one of my absolute favorites. And
great song.
Yeah. Just the chorus is just absolute killer. Spiral and Steve kind of trading the lines. Yeah, absolutely amazing. But in terms of Blue Hawaiian, yeah, I was pleased to be given that in a way because I went back and I listened to it a bunch of times with slightly different ears, slightly more analytical. And it's great. It's a really good song. So,
yeah. I love that it starts with that sort of whoosh. There's like a whooshing sound, like right before the bass drums kick in.
Yeah. And then you've got that Beck, I say Beck style. It's like, you think it could be a hip hop song.
Yeah.
And
real good groove.
Yeah. And I think Steve was dabbling with like a hip hop in his lyric writing. There's a couple of other songs that I sort of made a note of. One called Easily Fooled.
Yeah.
Give It a Day. It's got a hip hop flow in a way. It's a long stream of lyrics. And there's another thing he did on a compilation album called Robin Turns 26. On an album called At Home with the Groove Box. And if you haven't ever heard that, it's a very short song, but a bunch of musicians were given this instrument called a groove box and told to make a track and send it in for this compilation. And the Steve Malkmus song on it is called Robin Turns 26. And it's amazing. And I reckon that somewhere in the vault, there's a Steve Malkmus rap album. And I'd love it to come out. I reckon it's there somewhere.
Well, his lyrics, and you know, we can be specific to this song, are so, there's such a swagger to the vocal. There's such a swagger, right? Like he's right muddy in that groove that they've got going with the bass and drums. I love the way he like vocalizes.
Absolutely.
But the lyrics are sort of all over the place, and there's these, you know, couplets that work really well together. And then, like you say, there's almost like a hip hop cadence to it.
Yeah.
You know,
he sort of starts off really welcoming.
Yeah.
Hello. Come
welcome
on.
To,
you know, it's
welcome
like
to my home.
Yeah. Welcome to my home. And there's a couple of welcome songs in the catalog as well. Like one from Silver Jews. It's like, the Hello, My Friends line.
Right.
At the beginning of that.
Right.
And in Grave Architecture, come on in or something? He says something at the beginning.
Oh, so why is that not in my head? Jesus.
I'm sure just at the beginning, he says something. Anyway, but yeah, so at the beginning, he sounds very welcoming, but then he's talking about his cheeks or somebody's cheeks losing luster and things like that.
Yes.
And I wonder if he's talking to himself in the mirror, because it seems like he's in the recording studio environment. He's talking about tape machines slipping out of sync, which is a problem that would only be a problem in a recording studio, nowhere else in the world.
Doesn't he change the second time through? He changes the lyric, it sounds like, from rather than toes grouped in tones. Clusters to tones, right?
Tones. Yeah. Tones are grouped in clusters. Yeah.
Doesn't he say toes the first time?
I've got the record. Hang on a second. Let's have a look.
I feel like
you think it's toes?
I did think it was toes, and then it changes to tones, but I totally...
Well, again, that's another thing about, I think it's magical about Pavement. I've misheard lyrics for 20 plus years.
You betcha.
And it doesn't diminish the...
No.
But anything. It's,
no, because they're not
in fact,
narrative.
It increases the mystery or the allure.
It is sort of word salad, right? It's not like a narrative. It's like his lyrics are great, but they're not necessarily, there's not a lot of imagery in them. They're more,
it's more a feeling.
Feeling. Emotion. Yeah.
It says tones.
Okay. That's fair.
Tones. So, but I like that toes.
See, I'm cool and underqualified till the bitter fucking
so,
end.
Well, so am I. And what else? Have you got any other bits about the lyrics that you're sort of thinking about, or?
If it starts with an S, what is that lyric? If it starts with an S, it's followed with a T, and that's probably
yeah. Is he referring to him? That's what I think he's addressing himself.
That's what that to me. As soon as you said he's addressing himself, that lyric came to my mind. Mm. I think you're onto something. Yeah.
And there's I know they would have been touring a lot back then, and he's talking about like the notion or the idea of home, and he's also talking about his soul. I don't think. Pavement don't often talk
get
about
metaphysical.
Things like, yeah, like the soul. But
that's right.
I think it's mentioned by Spiral in another in his track. In Passat Dream, it mentions soul as well. But his soul is the shape of an ellipse.
That's very cool.
Like
I love that.
A squashed oval or squashed circle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Very, very messed up, right?
Yeah. It's good. But the best lyric, I think, is this kiss me into the past.
Yes.
It's because you can imagine somebody thinking about a kiss. I imagine somebody thinking about a kiss from the past that some, for whatever reason, has stuck with them. And I think it's kind of a relatable thing. And the other part to that is the lately is never going to last.
Hmm.
Because I guess time is in constant motion. So what's lately now will not be very soon. It's kind of a constant march, yeah. But the guitar solo, man.
Talk to me about that.
Well, it just sounds like he's sort of plugged in completely in the zone and just pulled out this first take kind of brain melter. There's like these weird chords going on the keyboard. I think he's on keyboard as well for this, so I think he's gone on and overdubbed himself, but I might be wrong because this and Wowie Zowie, it was the whole band, right?
Yeah.
They recorded as a band rather than in bits and pieces or smaller kind of groups.
Yeah.
And I imagine they would have been pretty buzzed because it was done at the, was it Mitch Easter?
That's right.
So, you know, some records that they would have been really into, early REM stuff.
That's right. That's
would
right.
have been done there or thereabouts, and that must have been I imagine quite a buzz.
I think so. To go, I think they were pretty big REM fans.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
And just a weird bit of trivia. It said I was I was on the Wikipedia for the studio, and it said that an early ad for the studio listed the address as 124 Shady Boulevard.
Oh, not, get out!
Not quite a shady lane, but close, eh?
I wonder if that's where he got the lyric from for Shady Lane.
Don't know.
Because
I think
cool.
They did it all like there. I don't know if there was a lot of prep beforehand. I think right. It's all done.
Where does Brighton the Corners fit in your personal top five Pavement records?
Oh man,
it can be for today. Like you know, it's not.
yeah, that's it.
And it changes.
Wowie Zowie used to be one. I really liked some of the songs, but I didn't like some of the others so much. And then that one became my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Slanted because it was my gateway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love all the stuff pre-Slanted as well.
Yeah.
So all the scratchy kind of...
I'm not as big on that. I like the more melodic stuff, but...
Oh, I like that, and I like the early Silver Jews stuff as well. That sounds like yeah. It's just, yeah.
Recorded on a cassette.
Yeah, yeah, that's got... You just don't hear stuff like that very often.
No.
And it's nice to hear different fidelities, you know, throughout their time. They've had every kind of phi going.
Yeah, when you think they worked with Nigel Godrich, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly. That would be last. So Terror Twilight would be the bottom.
I feel like that's fairly
I think it's a bad album. I think it's good, you know, but it's just the worst Pavement album.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. But it'll be interesting as I go through this process. I'm going to be interested to hear what people think.
Yeah. Yeah, because people might have a certain track on that's really, really special to them. And I can imagine The Hex will...
The Hex is great.
Is that in the top 50, do you think? Or are you not allowed to divulge such things?
I will not divulge such
well
things.
Well done, JD. That was a test and you passed.
I'm a fucking vault, baby.
Yeah, so I can't remember what the original question was, but
your top five Pavement records.
Top five.
Where does Brighton the Corners fit?
Fourth.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, it's my number. It's my number one.
I remember you saying that, and you stuck to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because that was the one that you heard almost like in real time? So when it came out,
Terror Twilight was my
gateway.
Really? Yeah, I was late to the party, man.
What's
really
that
late
theory.
Really late to the party. I heard Terror Twilight and then the Malcolmist solo record and I was done. I was sold.
Wow.
It was like, okay, this is my new favorite singer. Like I love this man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the more I listened to Pavement, I was like, wow, they're speaking my language. Like they just really spoke my language. I don't know specifically why or what dialect they were speaking, but it just worked, you know?
Well, the crowds at Primavera suggest that quite a lot of other people felt that way as well.
I think so.
Just an amazing band. You are into stuff like the Crust Brothers as well, aren't you? Like the deeper.
I like the Crust Brothers. I like Silkworm. Like I like Silkworm. So, so I experimented with Crust Brothers because I was like, well, it's Silkworm and Malcolmus. Like how can that be bad? And then.
Because I think I said to you, I wanted to put that out.
Right?
On my label that doesn't really exist anymore. But if they said yes, I would reactivate it and try and put it out on vinyl.
Was it just on Bandcamp? Is that the only place you can get it?
What, the Crust Brothers?
Yeah.
I got it as a CD.
You do? Oh, okay.
When it Marky Mark. It was like... I'd say I'd run down and get it, but I won't be able to find it very easily. But it was like a benefit CD for a cause, some kind of environmental issue. I can't remember what it was, but it was a good cause. And yeah, they just sold them on online when they came out. And goodness knows if they're around now or.
Yeah, I bet you they'd be tough to find. You could take a look at Discogs and find out, but it's probably like It's probably like the early EPs, you know, just sort of tough to get your hands on.
Yeah. Not many made, so it gets it gets harder as time moves on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crest Brothers released 1998. Sometimes it has in the notes. Recorded December the 5th, 1997.
And they recorded it live, I think, right?
Like at the Crocodile Cafe in Seattle.
Yeah.
It was performed as a benefit for the Washington Wilderness Coalition.
Oh, cool.
Coalition. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's always good when our favorites do good work.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, Chris, that just about wraps things up. I guess I just have a couple more questions.
Go for it, JB.
And it's the big question is, are you happy with where Blue Hawaiian ended up on the top 50? Or do you think it's properly rated, it's overrated, or it's underrated on this particular list?
I think it's about right, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great track. I mean, as I say, find another band with 49 better songs than this, and you're doing well.
I think you're doing really well.
You're doing really well. So yeah, I think it's about right. You know, I wouldn't want it to be in the top 10, but...
No.
There we go.
It would stand out like a sore thumb, trust me.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It sounds very different to nearly all the other songs in the whole catalogue, really.
It does.
I know we talked about the lyrical flow is similar to some other things, but sonically, with the bass, it's got very... I don't know. There was something in the air at that time with the Beastie Boys and Beck and stuff, and Pavement seemed to tap into it just for that one track,
yeah, because it sounds very different than everything else on Brighton as well.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, when you think that's a collection of songs they were writing at the time, and it sounds really different.
Very eclectic. Yeah.
Well, dude, it's been great talking to you. Is there anything you want to plug or anything that you want people to find? And if so, where do they find you?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, I had a label. I should probably say the name of it, and it was called Rechno. I don't really do it much anymore, but when I send people emails, it comes usually from the Rechno email, because that's my email. And that's when I used to send you little bits and pieces, so that's what you know me as well. But I've got nothing to plug. I'm just going to enjoy the rest of the countdown and see how it progresses.
All right. Well, I want to really thank you, Chris, for joining me this week on the pod. But that's all I've got for you this week. Wash your goddamn hands. Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, the top 50. If you're interested in being a guest on the show or have any questions or concerns, send me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com. Duvra podcasts and such.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.